This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray before we come to look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you're a speaking God. We thank you that you've not left us guessing about what we need to hear, particularly in times such as these. Please, by your Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and minds this morning to hear your word and to live by it. For your name's sake, amen. Well, as we think about Mothering Sunday, I wonder what two words you might choose to describe mothers. Perhaps any children listening with your families right now might like to turn to your mother and think of two words to describe her. Well, for many, Mothering Sunday is a mix of emotions. It can be a lovely celebration, a day of appreciating those who have shown so much sacrificial love and care for us. But it can also be a day of feeling loss and regret for all sorts of reasons, grieving those who are no longer with us, or perhaps grieving the loss of something that never came to pass. This year, that swirl of emotions is surely heightened even further by social distancing. Maybe anxiety about elderly family members, fear for ourselves, or just facing surreal and uncertain times. Can I suggest that this passage from Luke chapter 12 is a passage that we need to hear today? You see, because at times like this, we have two great concerns: provision and protection. Those were the two words that I chose, actually, to describe mothers. And those are two words that can be seen in this passage, two themes that can be seen in this passage from Luke chapter 12. This bit of Jesus' teaching looks at provision and protection. Two things that we also see modelled in motherhood. Let's look first at provision, verses 22 to 32. Firstly, Jesus encourages his disciples to banish worry and anxiety. He's speaking of everyday concerns here, food and clothing. And instead of being caught up in their own concerns, Jesus is encouraging them to lift their eyes and see the bigger picture. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. And Jesus is suggesting that as we lift our eyes, we look to evidence of God's provision in the natural world around us. On a lovely spring morning with the sun shining, it's not hard to see the glories of the natural world and how God has provided. Jesus says, consider the ravens and how God feeds them. And he hasn't just picked one bird species at random. He's chosen an animal that is considered unclean in Jewish culture. Here is a bird at the bottom of the pecking order, if you'll pardon the pun. And he is saying even a creature like this is provided for by God. But here's the thing. Jesus says, how much more valuable are you than birds? And then he goes on, consider how the wildflowers grow, pointing to ecology and ecosystems, saying, look, there is evidence of God's provision. God clothes the grass of the field. And Jesus is reminding us that it's God who provides for all these needs in nature. It's God who's in charge. It's God who sustains. Right now, we might want to point out that there is something from within the natural world that is causing so much trouble. Something from within the natural world that is posing the threat. And the Bible as a whole accounts for this too. It talks elsewhere of a broken and marred creation that is groaning. The world around us, according to the Bible, is not the way it should be. But nonetheless, Jesus' words are a timely reminder that we don't need to look far to see evidence that God is a providing Father. You see, Jesus is pointing to this provision in the natural world to remind us how much greater his provision is for his people. And that's one of the ways in which he's addressing our anxieties. He's pointing to our worth. We're worth so much more than the ravens, worth so much more than the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So we must trust that he will not forget to provide for us. Just like any good mother provides for her children, we are precious to God. And he knows what we need, even before we ask him. What a challenge for me as I've prepared to speak on a passage like this in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak, is to question whether I have managed to banish needless and fruitless anxiety from my life. Have I been a worrier? Well, as Jesus points out in verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? So what should we do with our anxieties and our worries? Well, our other reading from 1 Peter chapter 5 gives us the answer. Cast all your anxiety on him, that is God, because he cares for you. Will I do that in the coming days and months? Will I cast all of my anxiety on him, my gracious Heavenly Father, trusting that he will both provide and protect? It's easy to trust instead in my own resourcefulness and planning, to trust in my own labours to make sure that my family is provided for. But how much in these last few days have I actually been prayerfully dependent? Well, the answer is that my prayer life hasn't revealed in the way it should a trust in God's provision. And as we move down to verses 29 and 30, it's hard to read these verses without thinking of the mad dash to the supermarkets. People emptying the shelves, running around after things to eat and drink. An anxiety-fueled chaos. George Muller, a man of remarkable faith and dependence on God, who ran orphanages in Bristol in the 19th century, said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So what is it that Jesus asks of us instead? Look at verse 31. Seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. This is an important reminder of where God's provision is ultimately located. Yes, he provides for us in the here and now. Yes, he provides for us in response to our prayers. But ultimately, He's provided for us in his kingdom. And verse 32 will go on to show us more of that. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So what should be the relationship between our own activity and our dependence on that provision of God? Well, George Muller, who I just mentioned, is a great example of living out this exact balance. His understanding of God's goodness drove him to pray fervently and to completely rely on God's sovereign hand of provision. But this reliance on God's complete control of all things didn't stop him from being active. He established 5 orphanages that cared for over 10,000 orphans. He was clearly a busy man, but he famously never asked anyone to donate money to his various projects and organisations. And yet throughout his lifetime, he found that God provided just what was needed as he depended on him in prayer. I wonder whether unsettling times like these are a great opportunity to practice that discipline of banishing anxiety from our minds, to practice casting our anxiety onto God, to really depend on our loving Heavenly Father in prayer, and to seek his kingdom, his priorities, rather than to worry about our own immediate needs, to set our hearts on what he gives, on what he shows us. Well, we thought about provision, and then much more briefly, we're going to think about protection, the second way in which God is like a good mother to us. And we see that particularly in verses 32 to 34. Look at those lovely words at the start of verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock. I just wonder if we need to pause in the midst of our anxiety at the moment and listen to those words from Jesus. Do not be afraid, little flock. Jesus is pointing to the lovely biblical imagery of sheep and shepherds, a repeated theme right the way through Scripture. In fact, we've just been singing about that using the words of Psalm 23 in that hymn. Do not be afraid, little flock, because the good shepherd will protect you. How? Well, as we've already seen in the second half of verse 32, the answer is through giving us the kingdom. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We might ask, what difference does that make? How is that protection? I can't see that. It's hard for me to grasp the fact that God has given me the kingdom. Well, just like God's provision being ultimately located in the future, God's protection is also ultimately located in the future. Yes, just like his provision, I do believe that in the here and now, in response to our prayers, he can and he does protect his people. But ultimately, his protection is located in the future. Whether we face illness or death, we can face them with peace, contentment and confidence in our hearts, knowing that even if illness and death overtake us, God has provided for us in his kingdom. Christians all over the world face death each and every day, and many of them die through persecution or die through lack of essential medicine or food. But it's not because God hasn't protected them. It's not because God hasn't provided for them. No, it's just the location of his provision and protection is elsewhere. That's what Jesus is pointing us to. In fact, Jesus' instructions here are counterintuitive if we're seeking protection and provision in this life. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Doesn't that leave us more vulnerable rather than less? Well, yes. Yes, it does.
But if our treasure is in heaven, if that is where our ultimate and eternal provision and protection is, then we're freed up to do that. We're freed up to make ourselves vulnerable as we seek to serve others, as we seek to follow in the way of the cross, the way which Jesus leads us in. It might sound a crazy thing to do, but we need to realise that any protection or provision in this life is temporary. Our bodies are still going to age. But God's provision and protection, which lasts forever, is so much more valuable. By being welcomed into his kingdom, we are given something that is completely secure, where thieves do not break in and steal, where moth and rust cannot destroy. Secure forever. Because this is a webcast, I don't know who's listening in. And so I don't know where you've got to in exploring Christian faith. If you don't yet know the hope of this ultimate and eternal provision and protection, can I urge you to consider carefully Jesus' words in this passage? I believe Jesus is trustworthy, and his words are trustworthy. So will you trust him by believing what he points to here? I'm guessing that many of us tuning in may already have that hope, a hope of ultimate and eternal provision and protection. Well, now, I might suggest, is the time to really live that out. Jesus is calling us to lives of radical discipleship, and that will shine particularly brightly in these sorts of times. Imagine if we were those who in these dark and troubling times have this hope and live it out. Imagine if we are those who are so clearly casting aside anxiety. And as we are at peace, we bring that hope to others too. People ask us for the reason for the hope that we have. How is it that you're so calm and peaceful in these times? How is it that you're being so sacrificial with what you have, sharing and giving away? Imagine if we were the ones filling up the food banks when others are simply feeling too anxious to part with valuable food that they feel they need to stockpile just in case. Imagine if we were those whose whole lives pointed to a deep and unwavering trust in a providing and protecting God. Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words. We so need to hear them. Please help us to be those who banish anxiety and worry from our hearts. Please help us to do exactly what Jesus calls us to look at the natural world and to consider your provision for us. Knowing that what we see in the natural world, the evidence of your provision there, is so much more true of your provision for us. Because you love us and you value us so highly. As a good parent, you know what we need. As a good parent, you intend good for us. Please help us to trust in that, and may that give us an unwavering sense of peace and confidence and calm in these times. And may it free us up to be sacrificial in the way that we serve others, to live lives of radical faith that shine brightly for your glory's sake. Amen.